Shirley Smith has come in, and we're going to talk today, Shirley, about support for parents with young people doing exams, because it is a time fraught with angsty bits and going around stepping on eggshells and that sort of stuff in the house. How do you actually deal with it?
Hi, Declan. Yeah, it's a really stressful time, and parents can feel stressed. Especially, there can be two scenarios. One is you have a young person and you feel like they're not opening the books at all, and with the sun shining, they want to be out and enjoying themselves, and you feel that they should be doing something. So you feel anxious as a parent about that. Or you might have a young person in your house who when they get stressed, they're anxious about the exams and they're stressed, so therefore they're quick to anger or have tummy pains, and you've all this going on at home and you're just trying to keep the house nice and relaxed so that you can get through it. It's a really tough time, but hopefully today we'll talk about some tips and tricks to try and help you through this time. And it is just a really short period of time. You know, you're talking about a few weeks until the end of the exams. It's going to be here before we know it. The first thing I'd say is just put yourself in their shoes. Remember what it was like when you were doing exams. What kind of things did you find helpful? What was unhelpful? And just trying to imagine and going back to how it felt when you were sitting exams is a good way to think about, because that will change how you act, what you say, what you don't say. And it is a really good way of kind of connecting with your teen, just thinking about how it was for you and what you found helpful and unhelpful. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, because as I say, and then it's sort of slightly different for everybody. You know, some students are so laid back. You feel a stick of dynamite wouldn't get them going. Others are so intense, you feel, I wish they'd just do a little bit less. But they're all a little bit different, aren't they?
Yeah, it is different for everyone. For the parents who are worrying that their child, their young person, isn't opening a book and that they're very chilled about the whole thing, what I would say is the wire in our brain that we use to recall memory, and the wire that we use is the exact same wire that transfers stress signals. So if we're stressed, we can't remember things. So it's best that if they're relaxed. If they're relaxed, they're going to, at least remember the most, you know, and reach their potential that way. Forcing a young person to study, they're going to sit and open their books. They'll be daydreaming or listening to music. You can't really force them. You can encourage them. But I think the more insistent we are, the less they're going to do. So for parents who have the chilled out young person, being chilled around exam time is not a bad thing, because it will help with their memory recall on the day.
Yeah, we used to be sent into the sitting room and told study, you know, I was anyway particularly. And of course you'd always have a book or a magazine in there somewhere hidden. And that's what you did while you were in there, you know.
Yeah. So the more insistent parents are, the less they're going to do. Whereas if you kind of take a more coaching approach rather than, you know, insistent and being encouraging rather than demanding, they're going to be more inclined to want to study and see for themselves what they need to do.
Right. Now, that's that type. Now, what about the other type of student that we have sometimes that, you know, the ones who are dramatically going around the place sighing and crying and falling apart all the time? They're a bit more difficult to deal with in a way, aren't they?
Well, you have to try and help them get perspective and to take breaks. So what I would say is, like, give genuine praise and encouragement to both types of young person. Young people can be really self-critical, especially the anxious teen about exams. They can be really self-critical, and it can be worse around this time. So as a parent, it can be tempting to tell your teen they are wonderful, that everything will go fantastically. But young people will know when you're not being genuine. So giving your teen praise, recognise and acknowledge the things that they are good at, is good. Be realistic. And refrain from giving praise and then adding a "but you could do this." leave out the but.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was involved with training GPs, you used to have this thing called the complimentary sandwich or whatever it was called, where you'd say, oh, you did this very well, but, and then you'd give them a little bit of criticism, and then you'd sort of, then you'd end with another bit of positive information. So that's gone, is it? Or that's not as...
Well, I suppose this is a different setting. So this is parent-child rather than a training work setting. You know, where constructive criticism in a workplace maybe, or in a training when there are young adults or adults, might be useful. But in a parent-child relationship, what we'd say is, if you give praise and say, but you could do this, you know, instead.
Yeah.
It sounds like a criticism.
It still is a criticism,
they
isn't it?
They hear it as a criticism.
Yeah.
And like when we think about it, when somebody says something that we feel it criticises us, it sticks with us for longer. We tend to mull it over in our brain. Whereas when somebody pays us a compliment, we forget about it very quickly. So it's important that we give the praise and encouragement and leave the but to another time. Like if there's ways that you think that they can improve, don't not say it. Just don't say it at the time that you give the praise and encouragement.
Okay. No, I get you there, yeah.
And the other thing is young people want to be heard. So open communication is important all the time. But it's even more so during a challenging period like exams. So letting a young person know that you're there and ready to listen is key. One of the easiest ways to do this is by creating a safe space where the young person can open up. So having a chat with them in the car, going for a walk and talk, anything that doesn't involve eye contact when they're stressed. If you've got an anxious teen, taking them out for a walk is going to help regulate their breathing and reduce their stress levels, get them out in the fresh air for 10 minutes. So, you know, that's not a bad idea. We also don't want to get into the habit of asking, how are you doing now? How are you doing now? Because that's showing our anxiety them being anxious, and feelings are catching. So try and avoid asking too many questions, but giving space for them to just talk. So in the car, hiya, how's things? And just keeping it very casual and letting them talk. Whereas if we keep asking them, how are you doing now, it's going to irritate them and just make the anxiety worse.
Yeah, they'll just come back at you and say, would you ever stop asking?
Yeah. You're just putting back in their head that they are anxious about the exams. The other thing to say is that parents can say, ask why. So when a teen is talking about exams or they say they're stressed, we might say, why? What's the problem? However, this can be really unhelpful. So it's not about why they feel like this. It's about acknowledging that this is how they feel. So I can see that this is very difficult for you. And letting them name the feeling, you're going to encourage more conversation. And let them, sometimes young people talk to us and they're not looking for us to fix the problem. They're looking for us to just listen and allow space for them to have a rant so that they can let go of that feeling and then carry on with their life. Our problem as parents is often if a young person says that they're having a problem or they're feeling stressed, we can straight away go into what, why, when, where, now, or how. And that sounds more like a Garda investigation. And it shuts down conversation. So if we really want to help a young person to open up and talk to us and be free of the feelings that they're feeling, we need to kind of sit back and be curious more than anything and allow them space to talk. And putting a name on the feeling that they're expressing. So they might be saying, oh, this isn't going right for me and that's not going right and I can't remember this chapter. And just saying, oh, you sound really anxious right now. So putting a label on the feeling when they're talking, and then they'll say, oh, yeah, I am. And, you know, and then you carry on the conversation rather than shut it down.
Yeah. And I understand that because, you know, sometimes if you have a problem, you'll discuss it with some people, but not with everybody. You'll discuss it with some people who'll just listen. But somebody who sort of says, what you should do this now is A, B, C, D. You'll never discuss it with them because that's not what I wanted out of them. Do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit the same in this situation.
It is. You know, young people don't always come to us when they're having a problem because they might fear judgment or they might fear that they're going to get advice. And sometimes when we're talking about a problem, like you said, Declan, we just want somebody who's going to listen and validate how we feel and tell them that they're, you know, tell you that they're there for you. And that's exactly what young people want. I'm here for you. I'm here to listen and I'm validating your feelings. So try and avoid the Spanish Inquisition if they are mentioning problems or issues that they're having. Offer, would you like my help? Would you like some ideas? You can offer that. And if they say no, that's okay, then just try and refrain from giving it. The other thing is plan now to spend time together, you know, doing something after exams, particularly if you know that there's a subject that they are particularly anxious about. Then start planning now. You know, after that exam, will we go for ice cream or whatever it is that you plan something nice in between.
Ibiza for a week after the Leaving Cert?
I was thinking something more during the exam period. Like there'll be days where they don't have an exam or they'll come out of an exam and they'll be exhausted and they might need a little top up of your care at that stage. So like planning those kind of things, like going for a walk, you know, going for an ice cream, cooking their favourite dinner for them on the day that they have, you know, a particularly heavy exam day, you know, and chatting through that with them now is really helpful, because then they know when they're doing that exam day, oh, tonight I'm going to be, I've got my favourite dinner to look forward to, or I'm going to be doing, you know, having a walk and a chat with my mom or dad. So those kind of things really help in the moment at the time. But plan it now is what I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the other thing they can do sometimes is try and cram. And like you talked earlier on, cramming really just doesn't work, because you just don't remember it the next day.
No, you're just stressing your brain out. And as I said, then that really hinders memory recall.
Yeah.
So helping them to kind of be nice and relaxed is the best way to go. And feelings are catching. So if you find as a parent that you're worrying about your teen or young person, it's gonna have a knock-on effect. They're going to pick up on it. So try yourself and make sure that you look after your own self-care at this time, because they'll watch how you manage stress too. So just make sure that you're keeping yourself nice and calm and relaxed about the whole thing.
Yeah, because some parents, and I certainly remember this well, some parents get totally uptight about their children, you know. It's either they're doing nothing or they're not doing this or they're not doing that. And the parent gets more stressed than the student themselves.
We're so invested in raising our children to reach their potential that it's normal, I suppose, at times for us to worry about their welfare. And particularly around exam time, that can be a trigger for us as parents, because we want our children to thrive and we worry about them either being too relaxed or being very anxious. But the key, I suppose, is to remember feelings are catching. So if we look after our self-care and try and keep ourselves as calm and relaxed as possible, we're going to create an environment where conversations happen and the children and young people really figure out ways to get through this time.
Excellent. Shirley, thanks a million. We'll be putting this up as a podcast because, as I say, I think it's really good. It's really interesting and hopefully will keep everybody fairly calm and fairly level-headed. Thanks a million, Shirley.
No problem. Thank you.
We'll see you in 4 weeks' time again, will we?
Yeah, exactly.
I look forward to it.